Welcome to this week's edition of Hockey Unfiltered, the podcast with Ken Campbell. I am the sidekick. I am Monty Python's biggest dickest to Ken's Pontius Pilate in the life of Brian. Today we're going to be talking about the Leafs. Can they stay alive? Why the second round sucks? The Blackhawks get the number one overall pick. And should we just stop it with complaining about the officiating? I mean, hello, death and taxes. Oh, no?
Oh.
So I guess we already did the last topic just right there.
Yeah.
Because we're just basically going to argue about it then.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that'll make for good. That'll make for good. Whatever this is.
Yeah. Talk into the microphone.
Sorry. I got to move my chair up.
It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How's
it going?
Good. Well, it's going well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. No, Superman does good. You're doing well.
Excuse me. I do a podcast with you. I do good.
Nice.
Got him.
Every time I hear that music for our intro, I marvel at the fact that you wrote and performed it all by yourself and recorded it all by yourself.
Well, I'm a man of one or two talents.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm highly specified in what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And apparently music is not it.
Right.
All right. So should we get right into it? The Leafs played last night.
Are you donating those pads over there to who are you donating them to?
There's one of my students' dads told me about an organization called Seaside Hockey.
Oh, yeah. I know about that.
Yeah.
Run by Kirk Brooks.
Okay. So I called them and I didn't get a response back.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I know the guy. I'll call him.
Call him for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I got those pads.
Okay. Well, it's kids. So I'm not sure that any of them would fit into pads that big.
Well, but surely there's some kids that are older.
And they also would probably like pads that don't give up goals all the time. That actually stopped the puck. Oh, wait a minute. That's the guy wearing them. Sorry.
Man, you changed it. I had the comeback and then you changed it again. It's like you saw the twinkle of a comeback in my eye and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to change this around.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. Wow. Sick burn, Kenny.
Sick burn.
No, well, I got the pads and I go through sticks regularly. But when I'm done with the stick, how about I put it this way? It would last zero more skates in my hands facing my shots.
Right.
A kid could get 2 years out of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, if he felt like using a 35-pound wooden stick instead of like a good one.
Most of these leagues, that's what they give the kids. If the kid is trying out goalie or something like that, they're still giving the kids those wood sticks. So,
well, anyways, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to plug Seaside Hockey.
Yeah.
It's a great program. It's here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And what they do, and I've actually written a story about a kid by the name of Shamar Moses who was drafted in the first round by the Barrie Colts. I wrote it for the Toronto Star. I don't know when it's coming out. Probably very soon after the Leafs get eliminated, which will be tomorrow night, as we all know. and anyways, it's a program that a guy by the name of Kirk Brooks runs.
Yeah.
It's for, you know, disadvantaged youth in the Toronto area, in the Malvern, if you're not from Toronto, sort of Malvern East End area. And what they do is they just basically have hockey skills development, and they've applied, and they also have a house league because they've applied to the GTHL, to the Greater Toronto Hockey League, to get into the league.
Yeah.
So you have to start with a house league. So they have a house league, but Kirk was telling me, I think they've got, I don't know, 150, 200 kids, and like 40 of them next year are going to be playing single A with the Toronto Arrows organization.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And Seaside Hockey is going to help subsidize their registration fees. So it's a great program. Like hockey. Yeah. So often we hear hockey is not for everyone, and so often it's not.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's one of those things where hockey actually is for everyone.
Well, it's not for the rich in this case.
Yeah.
joking aside, actually, I would like you to put me in touch with the fellow because I was also going to offer to volunteer goalie coaching.
Again.
Who wants that?
They probably want guys that sort of can help the kids stop the puck. oh, hey, kid, here's how you get out of the way of the puck.
You know, you know, honestly, so I've made this joke before, which is that goaltending completely ruins your survival instincts because you get in the way of the puck. I was like, if somebody was going to shoot me with a crossbow and miss, I would jump in the way of the bolt and die.
Wow. I hope I'm, I hope he's shooting at me when that happens.
I met a guy that took a bullet for Reagan, eh?
Oh, wow. Did you?
Yeah. Camping at Lake Superior.
Wow.
He was from Michigan. So Lake Superior Provincial Park,
right?
Which you should be well familiar with because it's, you know, kind of your end of the province.
Well, not, it's more
closer than my end of the province.
Yep. Yep.
And so there was a guy at the campsite next to us, really, really great guy.
Yeah.
And one day my dad's like, he took a bullet for Reagan. I was like 8. I didn't know what that meant. And then when I was like 15, I said to my mom, I was like, did we meet somebody that took a bullet for Reagan?
Wow.
She's like, yeah, he was camping with us.
Wow.
What a,
interesting. He was one of the Secret Service guys?
Yeah.
Wow. That is cool.
Just a jolly, nice dude, kind of, you know, rotund, gray beard, gray hair, kind of, you know, sweet guy. But, geez, I mean, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, as it turns out.
That was 1980, I think, right?
It would have been like 98.
No.
That I was camping.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Wait till I finish my sentences before you refute me. Okay. We're off the rails. Off to the Leafs.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. As we are wont to do.
As we're wont to do.
How did that happen? Oh, my God. How did, like, connect the dots?
It's like checkmate in three moves, eh? Yeah. Talking about Reagan in three moves. Yeah. Did you see the clip about him condemning assault weapons? Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. We're not going to get on that. Yeah. Because then we'll be here all day.
We'll be here all day. All right. So Toronto Maple Leafs won last night. By the way, we need to address the elephant in the room. I said Leafs sweep. Boy, do I feel like quite the boob today.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't normally feel like a boob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes you realize what my boob tolerance is. So to feel like one today must be like really, really special.
Right.
I said leave sweep. I didn't think that Florida had this in them.
I thought the Leafs were going to win. I predicted them to win.
Yeah.
I think I said in six.
I think you said five or six. Yeah.
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 Yeah, so the Leafs win. Yay, Leafs.
They won last night.
So the series is now going to go five.
So the game looks...
They're going to lose. They're going to lose.
And they're going to lose, whether it's five or it's six.
And they're probably going to lose tomorrow night.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So a couple things on that, a couple thoughts on that. One, as you know, I've been critical of Paul Maurice's coaching.
Yep.
And I've been critical of Sheldon Keefe's coaching. The fact that Sheldon Keefe is currently being outcoached by Paul Maurice is maybe a scathing indictment on Sheldon Keefe.
I don't know. I mean, Paul Maurice has been a coach in these situations for a long, long time. He's gone to a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what works and what doesn't at this time of year. I mean, everybody got on Sheldon Keefe. So the same people who said that the Big Four were doing nothing, which they were doing.
Yeah.
Got on Sheldon Keefe's case because he started the third line for overtime in game three.
Yeah.
Well,
pick a lane.
Pick one. Pick one. Like, okay, if the Big Four is doing nothing, which they were, then if David Kampf and Sam Lafferty are your best forwards, then why not go with guys like that?
Yeah.
If they're the ones who are playing that night,
You
know, they can score an overtime goal too. They're capable.
Can we address the trade rumor? I mean, it always comes up. It's
McAvoy for Nylander?
Nylander being traded.
Right.
And he is, for the last 3 years, the only guy that consistently shows up in the playoffs.
He's been their best player.
Like by a wide margin.
By far.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
By far.
So, really? You guys are worried about lack of playoff success? You're going to trade the one player that's had
the only thing is
he's been a beast.
I think a lot of that is born out of the fact that he would be
the easiest to trade. Yeah, because he's the best.
Well, and he makes the least money.
Right.
Right? So.
So maybe that's the guy you keep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
call me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think, you know.
I mean, there's been tons of chatter about this for like the last.
Every year it comes up.
No, but like now it's intensified after the Leafs went down 3-0. And to me, like, no, you don't tear it apart. I mean, Steve Yzerman was 32. Alex Ovechkin was 32 when they won their first Stanley Cups.
Right.
Right? Steve Yzerman wasn't even the guy.
Yeah.
By the time he was winning Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, the Sergei Fedorov, Brendan Shanahan, everybody else team.
Also,
right?
I believe that it's pronounced Steve Yzerman.
Yzerman. That's how Bill Clinton pronounced it.
That's how Bill Clinton
pronounced it. Yeah. Actually, there's a kid up for the draft next year, and he may actually go first overall, named Cole Yzerman from the U.S., but it's E-I-S-E-R-M-A-N. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyways, what was I saying? Oh, so yeah.
Yzerman and Ovechkin like, were 32.
Yeah, they were 32 when they won their first cups. That
My age.
Is a bit of an anomaly.
I'm peaking because, now.
I mean, Taves was 27 and Kane was 26 when Chicago won its last Stanley Cup
right.
out of that group. So what do you do? What do you do with this group? Right? Do you tear it apart? Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Not for the sake of it, at
Do
least.
You run it back exactly the way it is? No chance.
Yeah.
No chance. You can't. And, like, there's a happy medium between trade Matthews and Marner and fire Dubas and Shanahan and Keith and doing something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so to me, blowing it up is not what you do.
Right.
You're not going to blow it up. That would be stupid and short-sighted, and no one's going to do that.
Agreed.
However, can you run it back with Sheldon, with Brendan Shanahan as the president, Kyle Dubas as the GM, Sheldon Keefe as the coach, and William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, and Austin Matthews as your four core players? Like, right back to what it was?
Yeah.
Like, no. I mean, because those Detroit Red Wings that Steve Yzerman won with, they changed coaches. They changed GM.
Of course.
You know, Washington. Yeah. Washington took a while to get it right. You know, they finally landed on Barry Trotz and McClellan. McClellan, the GM.
Oh, yeah.
And so they landed on those guys, and it took a while to find that.
Yeah.
But like, to suggest that they have to blow it up is crazy, but to suggest that you would come back with the same, and I'm not talking about nibbling around the periphery here.
Yeah, like, you got to bite.
You got to do that every year.
Yeah,
every year, you know, a significant amount of your roster has to turn over because of the way the league works now.
Yeah.
But if they lose this series and they come back with all of those pieces in the same place, I'd be really surprised.
So, as you know, I'm a goalie guy.
Yeah.
Therefore, as all goalie people are wont to be, a goalie apologist. Now, I remember, you know, writing for Eyes on the Prize in regular seasons where Carey Price was struggling, right? And the narrative that I kept on getting back, the pushback that I kept on getting back in my writing, which was critical, and the pushback that I kept on getting back was, well, that was a screen, and that was a tip, and that was a whatever, and that was whatever. And I'm like, it's the end of the year, and he's posting an 895.
Yeah.
I don't care that we can make an excuse for every individual shot. At the end of the day, it's simply not good enough.
Right.
He's like one of the lowest in the league for goals saved above expected. He's got a bad save percentage. He's got a bad goals against average. There is no stat that you can look at and say, well, actually, none. Right. And so I think that that's where you're at with these Leafs, which is like there is excuses and reasons that they lost every single round that they've lost.
Yeah.
You can turn around and say, well, last year Tampa was a juggernaut. You can turn around and say, well, you know, Boston was when they lost to Boston and Washington was when they lost to Washington. And you can turn around and make an excuse all day. But at the end of the day, like the Columbus Blue Jackets found a way to win a series against Tampa.
And
you want to tell me that that's a better team?
And if you subscribe to the theory, okay, you know, you give them one mulligan, you give them two, you give them three. But this is still the pattern that we're seeing.
Right.
And B, this year is the indictment. Because I'm going to speak as though they're still alive, which they are.
Yeah.
It is there for them.
Yeah.
Like, the path is there for them.
It is.
They didn't have to play Boston. They didn't even have to be the better team in the Tampa series. Like, you'd think. You get outplayed 5 out of 6 games, you end up winning the series.
Yeah.
You would think that you'd say, okay, this is when we get it together. This is when we pull it together and we go on a run. I always said, and I remember I was interviewing, sadly, the late Ray Emery once, and I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, you guys have to play and have to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs before you can win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And I said, and once that happens, it's game over.
Yeah.
It's game over. If it's the first round and they actually do it, they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in a series, forget about the next 3 series. They're just going to mow through them. You know what I mean?
I thought the Toronto's going to pop.
And that's why
I said sweep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to me,
yeah.
I mean, they did it. They did it. They beat Tampa.
Yeah.
In a series that really could have gone quite literally either way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you'd think that you'd come back and go, okay, guys, okay, we did what we did. We accomplished what we've set out to, not accomplished what we've set out to do. We've gotten the monkey off our backs.
Yeah.
We didn't play our best. Now we get down to business, you know?
Right, yeah.
And like, to me, I mean, it's not for lack of effort. It's not a lack of effort. It's not that they don't want to win. It's none of those things, because they try and they want to win desperately. But when I watch game 3 and it looks like, again, the moment is too big for them, that is an indictment of the mental makeup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how can the moment be too big for this team now? It's been too big for them, and they've gone through it, and they've lived through it, and they've lost, and they've learned. It should not be now. It should not be now. If you're going to be a team that fancies yourself as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, then you play like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah.
When you're required to.
So, speaking of game 3, you know, the play that, and I told you about this on the phone, but the play that just lives in my memory as just like, as this team in a nutshell, was Ekblad coming around the right side of the net, Marner coming around the left side of the net, and, well, actually, that's from my vantage point as a goaltender. Right. Vice versa.
Okay.
Whatever. Right?
It's vice versa.
No, it's vice versa, because
I'm
a carpenter.
It's vice versa.
I'm a carpenter.
That's the same. Vice versa.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. I was like, there's no way that I've been saying this wrong my whole life.
Irregardless, it's vice versa.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
Yeah.
Anyways, listen, I'm just trying to use Latin so that I can give my argument some verisimilitude.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, Marner's coming around one side, Ekblad's coming around the other side. It would turn into a 50-50 board battle. Bunting's coming behind Ekblad, and Marner just said, okay, Bunting can get it. Bunting's in a worse position, right? He's chasing down the play. Marner could have at least stopped up the play
there
and waited until Bunting got
there.
But my point is that I'm loath to say this, because I hate hearing GMs talk about intangibles and the guy's good in the room and, you know, oh, I know that the advanced stats are not as good or blah, 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 but those eggheads can go suck an egg. I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. I normally hate this, but at the end of the day, maybe a guy like Marner, you slightly lose a trade on. You get a guy like, in the mold of, not necessarily because, of course, he's kind of rumored to want to go to another team, but somebody like Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Oh, God, yeah, no.
You don't think so?
What's Pierre-Luc Dubois ever done in a big game?
Okay, so I will tell you what the analogy is. Well, actually, Pierre-Luc Dubois was instrumental in beating the Tampa Bay Lightning on the whatever. I will tell you what the analogy is. Huberdeau for Tkachuk.
Yeah.
You cannot look me in the eye and tell me.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Pierre-Luc Dubois is not Matthew
Tkachuk.
No, hang on.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that Matthew Tkachuk is, in a vacuum, a better hockey player than Jonathan Huberdeau.
I think he is.
You think so?
Oh, I think he impacts a game way more.
Okay, but
way more.
That's not what I said. I said a better hockey player.
Yeah, but
In a vacuum. And so if they lose the trade slightly, but bring in Matthew Tkachuk and you see how that's working out for them. I think it's the same thing with Weber for Subban. I think it's the same. And I think that that's what Toronto needs to do right now is take a guy like Marner.
Selke Trophy finalist who is probably...
Sell high.
Yeah.
Sell
okay.
high.
Okay.
Take that Selke Trophy finalist.
The only thing is that you flip any one of these three guys. You know, if you decide for whatever reason that, you know, that Austin Matthews isn't interested in hanging around after next year and you trade him before his no trade kicks in July, you know, whatever, it's a mug's game almost because you're just not going to get equal value.
I have no doubt.
Unless you're doing a Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson trade, which even then...
That was kind of goofy. Yeah,
I mean, even then, it's like hugely...
I have no doubt that if they trade Marner will go on to have an incredible career and potentially even win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
The problem is that there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Yep.
And it needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, best way to do it is listen to your dead father's ghost, kill your uncle... And then die in a mutual poisoning incident.
Okay. Yes, Dylan, you are so smart and you're so cultured and so well-rounded. Wow.
You know, it would be easier. It's easier for people to hear that because they don't see me drinking my Tim's and in a ripped, stained shirt and pants.
Yeah. You have a rip in your shirt. Yes.
Yeah. And my pants.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that anyone's looking. All right. Should we move on from the Leafs?
Yeah. Closing
remarks?
Well, just closing remarks. I said it before the podcast. I would not be surprised if they come out on Friday night and are terrible. And lose.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. That would be consistent with the personality of this team.
I've referenced it before. A good friend of mine, Toronto Maple Leafs fan, said that Toronto losing to Montreal in Game 7 was the most zen he's ever been in a loss. He accepted the fact that they were losing well before the game.
Yeah.
He had the game on, but he was just kind of doing dishes and puttering around the house while the game was on, which, I mean, for a rabid Leafs fan in the playoffs, but he was just so zen about the loss. You know, and then afterwards I tweeted out, like, I'm happy for Dylan and Dylan alone, basically. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of our relationship. But my point is that that's this team.
Yeah.
He had no expectations that anything else would happen other than them just rolling over and dying in game 7.
Wow.
And
they did.
Yep. And that's rather unfortunate. Last thing I want to say about actually last night's game.
They showed up big time.
Can I say something, though?
Yeah.
The stats, the advanced stats, expected goals, for percentage, Corsi, Fenwick, all of it, actually suggests that the Leafs only outplayed Florida by a little bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
I had the same reaction. I wanted to see how much Toronto outplayed Florida by. I was expecting like a margin of like 6%, 7%. It's actually about 2%.
Hmm.
1% to 2%, really. And so, that's not a good look for them.
But at some point,
the definitive of their dominant performance.
But at some point, you've got to give the opponent some credit too.
Of course.
They're trying to win the game too.
Florida's playing amazing.
They're trying to win the game too. You know,
Florida's playing amazing. Yeah. Even like the slightly late Gudas hit, and I didn't think it was a penalty. By the way, I don't know how you felt about it.
I'm mixed on it.
The whistle was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Right before the hit. But anyways, but even like that sort of thing, like that's what, not to sound too much like Don Cherry, but that's what winners do.
Mm-hmm.
They pound you into the ground.
Right. Right, because they can, and we're going to get to that.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Before we move on, check out kencampbell.substack.com. You can get this podcast directly into your inbox every week. Well, the weeks that we record it. But you can also get...
Which is pretty well every week.
But we're going into the summer soon.
Yeah.
We'll probably go down to every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, or something.
But anyways, because we've got things to do, you know?
Oh, you might.
No, I don't. Okay. I assumed you did.
You
okay, we're recording every day.
Like, you have a boat and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, well,
you got a you have interests. You have a motorcycle.
I have interests.
You have a boat. You're a carpenter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so cool. He's got a motorcycle and plays guitar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be the most popular guy in the high school. Now I just sound like my name should be Scott or something deplorable like that.
Well, Dylan's pretty...
Yeah, I feel like Dylan is nice.
Oh, really?
Like Dylan's got a nice ring to it, you know, like Bob Dylan, you know?
Yeah, okay.
You know, the pump don't work because the vandals took the handles, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, check out kencampbell.substack.com. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to leave a review. We just got another review recently.
Yeah.
5 stars. The fellow's pretty happy with it, but thinks that I'm assuming he's talking about me because I've been the one, but thinks I'm a little hot on Jake Oettinger. And that I should cool my jets a little bit.
Well, he's right.
Yeah, but to be clear.
But then Jake Oettinger came back last game.
He had a great game last game. Yeah. To be clear, I'm not.
He's getting out goaltended by Philip Grubauer, so you might want to rethink that.
To be clear, I'm not crowning Jake Oettinger. I'm just saying that I've got my eye on him as the next one. I've got my eye on Carter Hart, too.
If you were putting together a list of the top 20... Conn Smythe Trophy candidates to this point in the playoffs, would there be a single goalie on that list?
What are our goalies left? Jake Oettinger, Philip Grubauer, Laurent Brossois.
Well, he's hurt.
Aiden Hill started the last game.
Yeah.
Aiden Hill.
Whoever it is that New Jersey lands on at
Stuart
any
Skinner,
game.
Stuart Akira Skinner, Schmidt,
yeah.
Slash Vitek Vanacek.
Freddie Anderson. So
20? Like, maybe Freddie Anderson sneaks in at 20. Or Oettinger sneaks in at 20.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
I don't think that there's a single goalie that has distinguished himself.
Your point is made.
Playoffs.
Your point is well made.
Shesterkin's the best goalie in the playoffs still.
Oh, yeah.
So far. He was great.
Yeah.
He was great. He was great. He put up like what a 930 something, 936 or something.
If he hadn't have gotten hurt and could have helped the Leafs get out of this death spiral, then Samsonov might have made a point for himself. Hmm. He distinguished himself extremely well in the first round.
He did.
And
he out-goaltended a guy that many think is the best goalie in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and probably is the best goalie in the world. I mean, like, come on. Goaltending is a consistency thing.
It's like the weather in Calgary, though. Like, in 10 minutes, it's going to change.
Yeah, but goaltending is a consistency thing in the sense that to be the best goalie in the world, you don't have to be the best every single day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were lots of times that Mike Tyson didn't hold a belt that nobody was ever guessing whether he was the best boxer of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
Okay.
Moving on. Point well made. Jake Oettinger. I'm a big dum-dum. I get it. I know. I'm sorry.
Not just for that reason, but yes.
Oh, did I say just for that reason? No, I...
You should have said for that, comma, and a myriad of other reasons, comma.
I like your comma use. I got a letter in the mail today, and it was handwritten. It was like a thank you note.
Wow.
And let me put it this way. The person that wrote it, I could tell, was not a writer.
Okay.
There's like 3 commas missing.
But it's still sweet to get something like that.
No, screw him.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. all right. So moving on. Second round of the playoffs. Sucked? Does it suck? Why?
You know what? I actually don't know. Because, okay, you can sit there and go, okay, well, too many good teams are out. Okay, and it's because of the playoff format. The playoff format sucks, right?
Right.
Go back to 1-8. Well, if you go to 1-8...
Virtually the same.
Boston still plays Florida. Boston loses, presumably. Carolina plays the Islanders.
They don't lose because they're not playing a wild card team.
Yeah, yeah. And then still plays Winnipeg. So all those were already preset. Would Toronto have beaten the Rangers? You would think, the way the Rangers were playing, that there's a good chance, I would say. Would the Devils have beaten?
Shesterkin played incredibly well.
Yeah.
And Vasilevsky had not a bad series,
yeah,
but not a Vasilevsky series.
Yeah, okay.
And so you could make the argument that just on the goaltending strength alone, Toronto doesn't get out of the first round.
So maybe the Rangers win that series. Do the Devils beat Tampa? I think it's
maybe
it's possible, probable.
Yeah,
you know,
with the way that the Devils played,
and it would have been Colorado, Minnesota, I think, and then Seattle, Edmonton. So I just can't buy the argument that if you change the playoff format, things would be different right now.
Yeah,
because there's too many good teams out. I mean, the really good teams that are out, namely namely Boston, Colorado, and to a lesser degree Tampa, they would have been out under any circumstances.
Okay,
you know,
I got something to say to that. So this concern about the good teams are out and blah blah blah, you know what I mean, the upsets and all the rest of it, it's really bogus, because to be honest, the teams that made it through, the Florida Panthers, the Seattle Kraken, right, those are the two specifically that I've got in mind. To a lesser extent, the New Jersey Devils, but let's say Florida and Seattle for the most part. Those two teams that made it through that have proven that they belong here.
Oh, yeah.
And so this narrative of, like, it's not like a team that, like, kind of squeaked past the first round, beat out a better team on a hot goalie, and then just gets swept in the second round.
Right.
It's not that.
Right.
The teams that made it through, in Florida's case, are creaming the Leafs.
And well, in Seattle's case, they're right there.
In Seattle's case, they're right there.
They just play with so much energy. Oh my God. Like, I just cannot believe the amount of energy that team plays with.
And in New Jersey's case, it's really goaltending's been the only real difference in my mind.
Yeah.
So, my point is that no bad teams made it to the second round.
No.
That's my point.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Yes.
So, where's the problem?
Right. Correct.
What's the problem here?
Yep.
We're not going to see a sweep in the second round. You and I both predicted a sweep in this round.
Yeah, I predicted Dallas was going to sweep Seattle, and you predicted that Toronto was going to sweep Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
from that standpoint, like, let's be happy about that.
Exactly.
Right? But the games themselves have not, like, the least competitive series has had the most competitive games. Like,
right.
Toronto, Florida's had the most competitive games.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And the other series have just, okay, well, we're going to beat you one night, and then you're going to beat us the next night by 5 goals, and then we're going to beat you by 5 goals. And, like, it's almost to me like, you know, you get down 2-0 in the first period, and it's like, okay, well, I guess it's not our night. Let's, you know, let's just pack it in.
Yeah.
But to me, like, it just, it's the vagaries of momentum are just so, like, it's just there's just no momentum at all.
Yeah.
Like, there's just none.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Oilers last night, to their credit, for the first time, did not have the attention span of a tsetse fly after scoring a goal.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe this team. Yay, we scored. Oh, what a great play we just made. Oh, man, that was awesome. We cycled the puck. We did all these things right. We got a 5-on-5 goal. That's great. Okay, yay. Okay, let's let them score 10 seconds later. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's really remarkable.
Yeah.
I would say that Vegas Edmonton has had some great moments. It's
a nasty, nasty, nasty series.
And is that not why we love playoff hockey?
Well, I don't love when Alex Pietrangelo tries to take the best player in the playoffs' arms off.
Okay, there are limits. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. Like, okay, and a great example of that.
And I hate the bullshit after the whistles. I hate it.
Yeah.
It doesn't add anything to the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't send any messages. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, and I completely agree. I mean, like, I defended Gudas's hit last night, but the nonsense at the end of the game after the last whistle, that was deplorable in my mind.
Yeah, and all they did was just give everybody 2 minutes roughing, and they gave Sam Bennett a 10-minute misconduct. You mean in the Florida Toronto game, or
the Florida Toronto game? Yeah. At the very end of it.
Yeah.
So I.
Way to be creative, guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I agree with you. I get that there's a little bit of gamesmanship involved with that, but I'd be just as happy to basically say if that happens again, nobody's playing the next game.
Well, we'll find out later today what's going to happen.
I doubt there's any supplemental discipline.
Well, you might. The prevailing thought is that either they're going to rescind Nurse's suspension and not suspend Pietrangelo, which would be both of which would be a travesty.
Yeah.
Or that maybe they'll both get the next game.
Yeah.
In which case, Edmonton probably wins that.
Yeah.
Wins that trade.
Yeah.
You know? But it's ridiculous. I mean, that was as Connor McDavid said, that was as intent injured as you can get.
Best three defensemen in the second round all have beards. Big beards.
You putting Radko Gudas in that group?
I am putting Radko.
Well, he's definitely got the best beard.
Gudas, Burns.
And Ekholm?
And Ekholm.
Ekholm's beard is epic.
Stellar.
Gudas's is the best of those.
Gudas is the best.
Like, his beard is...
He has the advantage of having dark hair, though.
Yeah.
That always makes beards look a little bit fuller and stuff like that.
His
I'm
beard
thinking of
is...
dyeing my beard so that it can look a little bit more full.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I think you should shave half the time. It's all mangy and stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be more vigilant about forming it and shaping it and stuff.
I
think Radko Gudas is really good at that.
I think that he is very good at that.
Yeah. Like, he probably uses all the various oils and...
I honestly think that he's one of the better defensemen right now.
Yeah.
In this round of the playoffs.
You know, they were close to trading him at the deadline.
I know.
And it might have been to Toronto.
I know.
And that's another thing about the Leafs. They have 9 defensemen. Maybe you can find 6 that are good. Yeah. Maybe. It's just crazy.
And this
if
is
you have
thing.
All these defensemen, you went out and got all these guys, you got all these defensemen, and you have all these great defensemen, find 6 that can play a game.
This is the thing, is that the coaching staff does not seem to have any finger on the pulse of the team to know who might go that night and who might not. Because
And the guy that was best at that is the best coach in history at that was Joel Quenneville, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, he might be getting another shot.
At some point.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I mean, you can argue 10 ways to Sunday whether or not, but I'm one for... You do have to give a person a chance to redeem himself. There is redemption, right? I mean...
Yeah, I agree with you.
Craig McTavish spent a year in jail for vehicular homicide.
Yeah.
And came back, won cups, was a coach and a GM.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's, you know, looks at Craig McTavish and goes, that's a bad person, you know?
Yeah. I think that part of the trouble is the stakes. So let's bring this into the next subject, which is Chicago.
Yeah.
And Chicago won the draft lottery.
Right.
So
there ever been a less deserving team to get a superstar than the 2023 Chicago Blackhawks?
Can I start off with
no, there hasn't.
Something lighthearted on this?
No. We're talking about serious things.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead. Hey, everybody, light the lamp during the hockey playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can make a $5 bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with the code THPN. New customers can make a $5 hockey playoff bet and score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's at code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
But I didn't think that I was supposed to be filtered.
Oh, okay. Hence the name.
Okay.
But it's Hockey Unfiltered with Ken Campbell. Let's never forget that.
But I'm the biggest dickest today.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never seen a draft so sure of the number one overall that they've literally on the TV, they said, Connor Bedard to Chicago and interviewed him.
I mean, McDavid was Chicago.
There was some Eichel stuff going around.
There was not. Mario Lemieux was number one.
But Mario Lemieux being drafted is a little before my time.
Yeah.
I know that the Eichel stuff was largely media generated to try to make a story.
Right.
But I'm just saying that it's so obvious that Bedard is number one that the media isn't even trying to generate.
Well, they're already they've already got Bedard going down the line with a Chicago Blackhawks uniform on, going down the line tie five after a goal.
That's pretty funny.
They've put his head on somebody else's body, obviously.
Yeah.
And
Bedard is not small.
It's funny, you know, like he's not huge. But
okay, he's my height.
Yeah, and he's very, very strong. Like it's funny because I always thought, you know, you always thought Wayne Gretzky was on the small side.
Yeah.
But then, like, I remember the first time I saw him in person, it was like, he's actually pretty big.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can I say that I'm 4 inches taller than Ty Domi?
Sure.
Well, I'm just saying though, like we're saying that.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
No, you're not. You're not five. You're not. No, Ty was taller than me, you're 4 inches taller than I am.
I thought Ty was 5'6".
No, he wasn't 5'6".
Okay.
He wasn't 5'6". He was probably 5'8".
Okay, whatever. It's interesting how a lot is made of his size.
Yep.
But at 5'10", you know, you're within the realm.
Right.
And if he's strong as an ox,
he might grow an inch or two still.
Oh, yeah.
He might still grow an inch or two.
I was 5'9" when I was his age.
Yeah, he might get to 6 feet.
Yeah, that's doubtful, but 5'11" would be.
To me, the size is irrelevant in this case.
Yeah.
I mean,
Caulfield's 5'6".
He's not, like, it's weird because he's not the fastest skater. He's not the toughest guy. He's not, you know, like, there's nothing that he does except for shoot and think the game that is, like, so high above his peers.
Yeah.
Everything else is, you know, I mean, he does well, but he thinks the game at a level that nobody, like, he's, you know, it's the proverbial, he's playing chess and everybody else is trying to
play checkers,
move the black thing onto the other one. You know what I mean? And his shot has been an NHL shot since he was 13.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so going to Chicago, winning this, your thoughts?
Well, like I said, least deserving team to get a superstar that I can ever think of.
Yeah.
Least deserving team for a couple of reasons. Number one, the scandal.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, so they should have been penalized more. They sold in the whatever number of hours after they got Connor Bedard. They sold $2.5 million in season tickets.
Wow.
Their penalty for the Kyle Beach
was a million.
$2 million.
Oh, $2 million.
So they sold more tickets in 5 minutes than they paid in fine for the Kyle Beach thing.
Yeah.
Like that one screamed, you're losing picks. And by the time this thing had broken, they'd already traded for Seth Jones. So they had traded their first round pick in 2022. Right. Yeah. They ended up with, they would have picked sixth last year. They ended up picking seventh because they traded Alex DeBrincat to Ottawa. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't do it in 2022. So this would have been the year to slam them in the draft to take their draft picks away from them.
I mean,
if you're going to take draft picks away from Arizona for working guys
just
out.
Just about to say that.
For working guys out.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take a first round pick away from New Jersey for signing Ilya Kovalchuk to a contract that circumvents the salary cap.
Yeah.
Then, you know, covering up a sexual assault for a decade and enabling the perpetrator to go somewhere else and do it again.
Yeah.
It's insane, right?
Yeah.
So that's reason number one. Reason number two is they tanked hard.
I hate that.
They get it. Like they got the pick. What they did worked. There's nothing they did illegal about that, but still, you know, they tanked.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to, and I said this before, I would have loved to see Columbus get him.
Yeah.
Because Columbus didn't tank. They just weren't anywhere near as good as they thought they would be, and their whole team was injured for large stretches of the season, right? Yeah. So that's a team to me that I would have liked to have seen Connor Bedard go to.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen him to go to Anaheim for some fairly obvious reasons. But Chicago tanked, and they tanked hard, and they didn't even pretend like they weren't tanking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which again, is allowed. It's allowed. It's not like this whole lottery thing is supposed to discourage that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it works.
Well, the lottery, you know, when I was watching on TV and they were going through the odds and stuff like that, and you can only move up this spot, and you can only get if you're in the top two, the bottom two, then you can, and they were going through all this stuff, and I was like, man, if this lottery is meant to discourage tanking, they have gutted it. They've completely gutted any of its of the lottery's teeth to discourage tanking. And it's all thanks to Steve Yzerman, you know, filling his diaper about, you know, when they dropped to sixth, I think, or something like that. Yeah. Anyways, my point is that tanking is bad for the game of hockey. And if you want to discourage tanking with a lottery system, then do that.
They do. This year, I think,
you can only drop down to three.
I know.
And if you're the worst team.
I know. And sometimes that's a big drop.
Let them drop to 15.
Sometimes that's a big drop. This year was different because if you weren't going to drop lower than three, you know, you're still getting an amazing player.
Fantilli, Michkov, or Bedard.
Or Leo Carlson, if you're too scared of Michkov's contract and his situation in Russia.
Yeah. So just smuggle him out Mogilny style.
Yeah, but you know what? They can't even do that.
Yeah.
Because he's under contract to the KHL till 2026.
Yeah.
And the KHL and the NHL have a tenuous.
Yeah.
But they have an agreement that they're not going to violate each other's contracts.
Is that an agreement? So even if
Matvei Michkov showed up in North America tomorrow, the NHL presumably would have to say, look, you're under contract to your team, you know?
Is that not null and void, though, based on the sanctions?
Oh, there are no sanctions, though. Like, the NHL hasn't sanctioned Russia in any way.
No, but what I'm saying is that what is the obligation? Whatever. Why am I asking us this? Like, this is a bigger question than us, but what is the obligation of one corporation operating in North America to another corporation operating exclusively in Russia?
Well, it's not. But then what happens when, some Russian who's under, you know, let's say Kirill Kaprizov just goes, I kind of want to go back home. So what would stop the KHL then from turning around and signing Kirill Kaprizov to a 10-year, $80 gazillion deal to go play for St. Petersburg?
I have a feeling that if they could do that right now, that they would.
No, they wouldn't, because there's an agreement. There's an agreement in place, and they know that they can't violate it. It's almost like a Cold War thing. You know what I mean? It's almost like a Cold War thing.
Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, we could. Sure, we could do that if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But then what's going to happen the next time one of our guys is under contract? They're just going to come and poach him.
All right, well, listen. Kovalchuk. Moving on.
Kovalchuk? Oh, yeah. Anyway,
because he was under a 15-year contract went to Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, moving on. Okay, let's tie a bow on this before we move on. Second round. Does it suck? You think it sucks?
Oh, I thought we were on Chicago already.
Oh, we were on Chicago already.
Yeah. Second round has sucked.
Second round has sucked.
Not sure what the answer is.
Chicago optics are terrible.
Not sure what the answer is. Chicago, you can't take it away from them.
You know what the answer is?
The answer was...
For the second round?
Yeah.
The answer is don't do a game every other day for 3 weeks.
What do you mean?
I mean, these guys are tired. You want them to show up and play every single night, right?
Yeah, but
ultimately, that's what this comes down to.
Yeah, but then you're wondering about like this series, like this Florida Panthers-Toronto series. Like, it's like, I like every other night. I like every other night.
I like it as a viewing fan, but like, look,
I just wish there was rhyme or reason to it because,
yeah,
you know, I mean, now we wait 3 days and then we don't wait 3 days and then we wait 3 days.
I hear you.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like I always, you know, I'm not going to be the old man screaming at the clouds, but I remember when it was like everybody played one night, then everybody else played the next night, then everybody else played the next night. Like it was, and you knew who was playing on what night.
Yeah.
You never know now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
Anyways.
All right.
What day is it? Thursday.
It's Thursday today.
So Seattle and Dallas tonight and New Jersey and Carolina.
I have no idea. I literally turn on my TV and
just go what's on
tonight. And just watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't care. I literally just turn on my TV. Final topic.
Yep.
Is there any point in complaining about refereeing at this point?
Absolutely, there is.
Let's hear it, Kenny. Scream at those clouds.
Well, no, it's just like, how is anything going to change? If you don't, you know, I mean, I see, you know, Ken Reed from Sportsnet. Stop complaining about the referees. Sure. I'd love to. I'll stop complaining about them when they're better at what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how is anything ever going to change if we don't point out the inconsistencies and just the absolute, like, lack of standard and lack of, you know, like one thing's a penalty in one period, one thing's a penalty and not in another period. Like, I mean, how does a guy who skated off the ice last week with a bad back, and we all know has a bad back, get drilled from behind with a cross check, Mark Stone from Kyler Yamamoto, and there's no penalty.
Yeah.
And it's around the net. Like, don't tell me you didn't see that.
And it wasn't even a battle for position around the net. Stone was driving the net.
Yeah. Like, don't tell me you didn't see that.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just, it's, you know, and Michael Bunting, he had a good point last night. Like, what more do I have to do? I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, where's the double minor?
Goaltender interference.
Oh,
Jamie Benn on Phil Grubauer.
Yeah. See, I don't even go into goalie interference anymore.
Yeah.
Because I honestly don't know what it is.
Somebody engaged me on Twitter about it.
I honestly don't know why.
Somebody engaged me on Twitter about it and said, like, and, you know, I gave them my explanation of why I thought that it was interference. And he said something to the effect of, like, you should be in Toronto, you know, helping make these calls because I'm always confused as to what's going on. And I said, what's so confusing about a coin flip?
Yeah, exactly. What's so confusing about the Wheel of Justice?
By the rule book, if a goalie is outside of his crease and another player initiates contact with that goalie, that's goalie interference.
And then it's a judgment call as to whether or not Ben was pushed in or he initiated contact.
Ben initiated contact before he was pushed in. He was pushed in a second time, if you watch the whole clip. Anyways, look, it was goalie interference, but it wasn't called as goalie interference. No explanation given.
Who knows? Like, I never know. Like, and then you saw it. You saw it. Brian Boucher on the broadcast, Brian Boucher was like,
That's no goal.
This goal is coming back.
Yeah.
This goal is coming back. And he couldn't have been more sure. And then they went to Dave Jackson, the guy who used to referee in the NHL, who's the ESPN ref.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, rules guy. And he's like, no, I think this one's going to stand. And then Boucher said, well, maybe. And then he said, no, it's not going to stand. And then it stood. So, like, I don't even venture into goaltender interference anymore because I have no idea what it is. And I have no idea from one game to the next what's going to get called and what isn't.
Sir, I couldn't describe goaltender interference to you, but I know it when I see it.
The landmark pornography case, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the judge's name was.
I don't remember the judge's name, and I don't know why I went with
I don't think it was a guy like that.
I was kind of mixing metaphors, right? Because I kind of had, like, the, you know, the classic, like, you know, Southern lawyer, you know, and then I had the whatever. I thought it was funny in my head, but it went a little.
It fell flatter than as my dear father used to say. My dear departed father used to say, that fell flatter than piss on a plate. And I don't even know what that means.
Back in the Depression, we used to have to piss on our plates.
To wash them.
To wash them, the ammonia.
Oh, man.
So we didn't have your fancy bubbling soaps. Solved.
That's it, right?
We should
there.
Make a Reddit thing. Piss on a plate. Yep. Solved.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So is there a point in complaining about the refereeing and by extension about the discipline that the NHL meets or doesn't meet out in the playoffs. I absolutely think there is.
I can't care less anymore.
How could you not care less? Like, how could you, you know, especially when you look at the Mark Stone play, it's 2-0 Edmonton.
Okay,
Edmonton. Yeah. Stone gets wiped out in front of the net. Kyler Yamamoto picks the puck up. The Edmonton Oilers go up the ice and score and make it 3-0.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we talked about blowout games. Okay, right then it's like that's the blowout. Game. Yeah. That's the blowout.
Yeah.
Like I doubt if Vegas, they just didn't seem to have it last night. So I doubt if they would have won that game. But you know, you go into the second period down 2-0.
Yeah.
With a power play, presumably.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you go into the second period down 3 when they didn't call anything.
Yeah, I mean, so okay, fair enough. In that example, I agree with you. My trouble is that you go into Twitter during any game and you see fans of both teams clipping all these minute little, you know, this cross check or that little slash or that little whatever.
But what's minute about cross checking? It's in the rule book. It's in the rule, but like, what's minute about it? You take your stick and you cross check someone, especially in the back. It's a penalty.
Well, there's a difference between a cross check and a cross check, if you know what I mean.
Yes, there is. There shouldn't be, but there is, and I accept that.
Yeah, there should be.
If you're just pushing
in the rule book, there should be cross checking. And then in italicized, cross-checking. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, and the theory is that if you're just using it, your body leverage and you've got your stick and you're pushing a guy out of the way, that's one thing. But, okay, you know, when you rear back and you nail the guy,
that's a cross-check.
That's a cross-check. And it happens at least tens of times a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had people say to me, you know, like, and I am in agreement with this. And this is what they tried to do after the lockout and then didn't stick with it. Like, anytime you're using your stick not to play the puck, it's a penalty. It's a penalty.
Hmm.
It is. Your stick, you have a stick in order to handle the puck, shoot the puck, score on the goalie. That's what the stick is for.
Right.
It's intended to hit Marty McSorley
in the head.
Right. Its intended use was never, ever to impede people by hooking or you know, hanging on.
Yeah.
That was never the intent of a hockey stick. It never has, never was, never should be. You know, it wasn't to trip people. It wasn't to hook. It's to handle the puck, move the puck up the ice, and ultimately put the puck behind the goalie. And if you're using it for any other purpose other than that, it's a penalty. It's not difficult. Like, people... That's what gets me about hockey people is, oh, it's so complicated and nuanced. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Ken, just admit that you don't understand fighting, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's the one where, to me, that's the one that my eyes roll so far into the back of my head when I hear that. Oh, it's complicated. You wouldn't understand. It's complicated and nuanced. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yeah. These guys do it because they can, because they're, I mean, it's against the rules, but it's accepted.
Yeah.
Like, and.
Yeah, there's against the rules, and then there's
against
the rules.
You call the penalties.
Italicized.
You call the penalties, and the players will adapt. All the players want to know is how much they can get away with. That's all they want to know.
Completely agree with that.
And they'll push it, and they'll continue to push it, and push it, and push it, to see what they can get away with. And it's up to the league to set that boundary. It's not up to the players to decide the game. It's not up to the players to decide how the game's going to be played.
Yeah.
What kind of back-ass, stupid logic is that? Yeah. It's up to a strong league to say, this is the standard. It's going to be imposed every single time.
Yeah.
And if you go over it, you're going to be penalized.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you think the Florida Panthers don't know that if they do something 8 times, it'll get called twice only, and they'll take it. They'll take that.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they had a crappy penalty kill, and they do have a crappy penalty kill, they'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Edmonton Oilers are thinking, let's run after Alex Pietrangelo enough, let's cross-check him in the face enough, let's abuse him enough that when the game is out of reach, he's going to try and break Leon Draisaitl's arm,
mm-hmm.
and wow, good for us. So because if that ends up being like a 2-game suspension for Alex Pietrangelo and the automatic one game for Darnell Nurse,
yeah.
If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'm like, that's a freaking good trade.
Yeah.
That's a great trade for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't love the whole call the rule book argument. I don't love the whole just call the rule book argument.
Yeah, because why have a rule book? Why would you do that?
Look, Kenny,
why would you do that?
Kenny, it's complicated.
It's nuanced.
It's nuanced. Yeah, I had to know that was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't love the just call the rule book argument because I do. You know, it's just, I want the game played at 5-on-5.
It will be once the players adapt.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It will be.
Let's
see. I'm gonna check. It's now 11:56 a.m. on Thursday, so we have not yet heard. I don't think. Oh, so Pietrangelo is going to get suspended.
Nice.
Vegas's Alex Pietrangelo will have a hearing today for slashing against Edmonton's Leon Draisaitl. So there will be a suspension.
Yeah.
If he has a hearing, there will be a suspension.
Yeah, absolutely.
In which case,
that's what the wheel landed on today.
Yeah, yeah. I thought for sure that was just going to be a fine. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Huh.
So now I think what's going to happen is they'll uphold the, like, I mean, it's kind of a moot point because when everybody hears this, it's probably going to be decided
anyways. Be on Twitter, yeah.
But no, it'll be decided by the time they hear it. But I assume that they will uphold.
That's what I meant. The decision would be on Twitter.
Yeah, they'll uphold the Nurse suspension, the 1-game suspension, and Pietrangelo will get 1 or maybe 2 games. Which in the playoffs is equivalent to 2 games would be equivalent to 4.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Yes. As the equivalency czars have told us.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
I probably should touch on the World Championship that starts tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have been keeping a very cursory eye on that. What do you want to touch
on? You haven't even been keeping a cursory eye on it.
I've been keeping a cursory eye on it.
Okay.
Lane Hudson's playing.
Yeah.
Sam Montembeau's the goaltender for Team Canada.
Probably be Devon Levi. I would think Devon Levi's the number one, but no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
And Joel Hoffer, St. Louis.
Adam Fantilli's going.
Yes. So here's Canada's group.
Frederick Dishov, who's another Montreal prospect, is the goaltender for Denmark, and he currently plays for Frölunda in SHL.
Cool story, bro. So here's Canada's group. Canada, Czechia, Kazakhstan, Latvia, Norway, Slovakia, Slovenia, and Switzerland. What, was Chad not available? Like, was Papua New Guinea? Like, where are they playing? Like, what the hell is this? Canada, Czechia, Kazakhstan, Latvia, Norway, Slovakia, Slovenia, Switzerland.
Czechia will be.
That's like Czechia.
The only decent
Czechia,
country in that
Slovakia,
group.
Switzerland. Yeah. You know, I mean, but still. And in the other group, you have Finland, United States, and Sweden.
Is Slavkovsky going to the World Championship?
But you also have Denmark, Austria, France, and Hungary. What's that?
Is Slavkovsky going to this? I don't think that he is. I didn't see the announcement.
I don't think so.
Huh.
I don't think so.
Just occurred to me. Why wouldn't he?
Wasn't he hurt?
Yeah, he had like shoulder surgery, but he's supposed to be fine by now.
By now? After having shoulder surgery?
He had it like midway through the year. Anyways, okay, well, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I guess he's not 100%. Or they don't want to re-aggravate it for this. But yeah, not the greatest group in the world.
Well, yeah, and you just look and it's like, wow, everybody, like it could be, like anybody could win this, right?
Canada
like,
always finds like ways to lose this, though. Like, to be honest,
they've been winning. They've been winning, doing their fair share of winning the last
few years. I know, but
I think, you know, I mean, Finland, it's in Finland. Like, I mean, you know, I got to think that, I got to think that
hockey players per capita is outrageous.
And here's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
It's being played in Finland, and Finnish hockey players are out of their minds, like proud and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The New York Rangers are, after this tournament, are going to go WTF.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna tell you what's going to happen.
Tell me.
Kaapo Kakko is going to be a monster. He's going to be a monster in this tournament.
Yeah.
He's going to lead the tournament in scoring.
Yeah.
He's going to lead Finland to a gold medal. He's going to be like the guy. He's going to be a rock star in this tournament. And people in the Rangers are going to go, what?
And you know what they should do
and
then?
It was always like with Czechia.
Hire Finland's coach.
Right, yeah. And it was always like Czechia. It was like Robert Reichel, the Czech Republic. It was Robert Reichel. Like, why is he a beast when he plays for nothing in an international tournament?
Yeah.
And then he comes to the NHL and he's a dog when he makes $3.5 million.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
Yeah.
But that's my prediction for this tournament.
Guaranteed contracts, my friend. Guaranteed contracts.
Kaapo Kakko is going to be a beast.
Yeah.
He's going to lead the tournament in scoring. He's going to be the leader. He's going to do everything. And then the New York Rangers are going to go, oh, God. Yeah. Now we can't trade him.
Yeah.
But, looking forward to seeing what Adam Fantilli will do in this tournament. Looking forward to seeing. I always like the U.S. team because they always have that blend of young guys and older guys.
They never win.
They never win.
There's a lot of NCAA guys.
They never
guys
ever
going there
win
for the U.S. this year.
So, but it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if it'll be fun. 16 teams. Like, you got to play the 82 regular season the 82 game regular season first.
Yeah, yeah.
Before anything means anything in this tournament. So.
Yeah.
But just thought I'd put in a plug there for the World Championships, which start tomorrow. Canada plays Latvia. Like, Canada should be able to mow through their division, no problem.
I remember that.
And then they'll get a favorable quarterfinal. So if Canada does not at least get into the semifinal in this tournament, then shame on them because they've got the easiest division in the history of divisions.
Yeah.
And then, so which means that they'll get the lowest team on the other side for their, you know, so assuming if Finland, United States, and Sweden all go through, then, you know, the best team you're facing is Germany, maybe Austria, Denmark, France, or Hungary. Like, if they don't at least get to the semifinal, then shame on them because it's been pretty well, you know, laid out there for them.
Yeah. I remember 2014 when Latvia played against Canada about a week later.
In the Olympics?
In the Olympics.
Yeah.
And about a week later, I don't even remember how, wound up playing with an all-Latvian group of hockey players.
Wow.
And there was a two-on-one, and my defenseman fell while doing a backwards crossover, just fell.
Mm-hmm.
And I screamed out, "Where's that famous Latvian defense for me?"
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. And he turned around and said, "F you."
Pretty much.
Yeah, you're not Krister's Gudlevskis.
Oh, that hurts.
Hey,
me deep.
Arthur's Balsers. Hey, Eric's. Like, they're all like every name, every first and last name ends in S.
Your encyclopedic knowledge of hockey never ceases to amaze me.
I can't remember my own phone number, though. Like, that's the problem. My wife can't.
You called me like, to ask my me wife my phone
friends,
number.
My wife and friends, like, they're like, I remember my buddy had a Leafs trivia book.
Yeah.
And, like, he was asking, and I was answering every question. And his wife finally came up to me and grabbed me and said, "If you could just harness all of that and do something with it." You know, like, like, my wife, like, I can recite entire Bugs Bunny episodes, but... Like, where's the margarine? I don't know. Like, it's in the fridge. I don't see it. Like,
what? Oh, okay. Now I understand.
No,
I thought that was a Bugs Bunny episode. Where's
no,
the margarine?
No, no. It's just practical.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of practical use for the stuff that I
no,
know.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I can talk at endless hours about how, you know, Otto von Bismarck, you know, united the Prussian Empire and how, you know, he kept Austria out and because he wanted there to be, you know, the religious divide and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you, find me the number 10 socket wrench. never will happen. So, you know,
I one time we were playing some game about hockey players and like we're seeing how, if we could come up with obscure players, and I came up with Odie Cleghorn, and everybody was like, that guy didn't play in the NHL. And I was like, yeah, he was Sprague Cleghorn's younger brother.
Yeah.
They died like 2 days apart. And he played for Montreal, and they were like, no. And then they looked it up, and it was like, yeah, that guy did play.
That's actually a game I've got with a friend of mine, which is name obscure backup goalies from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
See, the one we did was with hockey cards.
Yeah.
Like, because when I was a kid, we didn't see all the games, so we never saw a lot of guys that we saw on the hockey cards, right?
Right,
and I always remember guys like Nick Libbett. Nick Libbett, he played for Detroit. Hardly ever saw him play, but I knew he was in the league because I collected hockey cards.
Okay, so
Sheldon Kanigiser.
Okay,
you know,
so
Dwayne Rupp, guys like that.
The nickname for Joseph Woll is
The Woll?
The Great Bwoolin Woll of Toronto.
The Great Bwoolin?
Yeah, Bwoolin Woll of Toronto.
That's awful.
I know. But we, you know, it's just, remember Happy Boolin was the Boolin Wall?
Yeah, okay. Right? Yeah.
And then and then Johnny Bauer was the Great Wall of China or whatever.
Yeah.
And so anyways, it was just text back and forth with some friends of mine about like just coming up with the most convoluted nickname for this guy because his last name is basically Wall.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm going to go with Wallsy. That's mine.
That's a good one.
Wallsy.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Brixy. Yeah. That's a really good one. You know what the thing is? We're so on a tangent. So, anyways, bye everybody that's not listening to us now. Yeah. You know what the thing is about when people make fun of that, you know, that hockey thing of like, oh, they're just at the last name and put a Y at the end. What's wrong with them?
Yeah. An S-Y, usually.
An S-Y, yeah. But what bothers me about that is, about the consternation about that, is that the thing about nicknames is that they actually serve a purpose on the ice.
Okay.
They actually serve a purpose on the ice when you're calling for pucks or calling for whatever.
Yeah.
And so, they're not coming up with nicknames to entertain the media people. They're coming up with nicknames so they can say, Morrissey over here.
Yeah.
That's why they have the nicknames. Yeah. And you're like, well, that wasn't very creative. And it's like, well, sorry for just being one of the top 200 hockey players in the world and coming up with an uncreative nickname so that I can quickly and easily call for the puck. Wow. I'm devastated. I'm devastated. It bothers me so much. And then we try to make these big nicknames.
But and then when they do come up with those names, like, nobody ever calls them that. Like, do you think that the Chicago Blackhawks or Chicago White Sox teammates of Frank Thomas would walk in the into the locker room every day and go, hey, the Big Hurt, how you doing? Hey, Golden Brett.
Mr. Hurt. Yeah, we call him T.B. Hurt. Yeah. No, I that's why some of the more inventive nicknames that actually stick, that actually hockey players use, are simple. Arbor Jacki is Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tomas Tatar is Tuna.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it's got something to do with tartar sauce.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyways, but my point is that the ones that hockey players actually will repeat are ones that, again, Wi-Fi, I'm open.
Yeah.
Tuna, I'm open.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? The ones that
I
wonder if the Tuna one has anything to do with the fact that when he was breaking into the league, The Office would have still been on TV, and Andy used to call Jim Big Tuna.
The Big Tuna, yeah.
I wonder if that had a slight... Okay. Thanks so much for joining us this week at Hockey Unfiltered with Ken Campbell. I was the sidekick today, Dylan Waugh. Check us out on Twitter at @HockeyNoFilter, @Ken_Campbell27, of course, @_DylanWaugh. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to KenCampbell.substack.com, and we'll see you next week.